Welcome one and all once again to Dual Wielding for the week of August the 3rd, 2015. I am joined this week by Martin.
Hello!
And the Dutch Sayer, who's at some point, I'm going to learn how to pronounce his name, Petra?
Petriet.
Yes, okay. Yes. Hello, everybody. We'll come back to that, Earl. That's fine.
We'll come back to that. It's been a while.
Yeah, exactly.
And just to kind of kick it off, we haven't actually recorded an episode since pre-E3, like right before E3. So this would be the first episode in about 2 months. And let's be honest, cards on the table, it's the summertime. People get busy. Either it's work, it's vacation, it's school, it's personal lives. It happens. So I apologize for that. We'll move on. But in the spirit of that, we're going to jettison talking about games and maybe do a more dedicated one to games of the summer. I mean, the two big ones have been Batman Arkham Knight and Rocket League, which if you are a video game player and you have not heard about either one, I don't really know what we're going to tell you that you wouldn't have known over the past 2 months anyhow.
Yeah, and Rocket League is doing quite well, so everybody heard about that game.
Yeah, I mean, everybody's heard about both. I mean, Batman's done amazing as well. It's hard not to have heard about those.
I had an ad today. Went to Mission Impossible. I had an ad for the PS4 version of Batman before the movie, and that game's out 2 months.
Yeah, and I went. I was in Times Square the other day, and there's still a giant Batman Arkham Knight poster in the middle of Times Square. So Warner Brothers is still advertising that game. It helps that it's Batman. I mean, who doesn't know Batman?
And I just have played a lot of Rocket League.
Yeah, and I mean, I think just came out real quick. It's not in our news because it's whatever, but I mean, it's a huge thing for them. But 5 million downloads in the first month is just an amazing start to any game.
Yep.
So, it was one of my favorite things. Somebody said that this game's underrated. I'm like, I don't know what rock you lived under for the month of July.
No,
that's all anybody talked about.
It's a summer surprise game for everybody. It's like, this cannot be more hyped, you know?
Yeah, that's what I don't. It may be underappreciated, but I don't know anybody who hasn't fallen in love with this game. Mm. Like I said, we'll do that at another time, especially with Batman, because there's a lot I want to talk about with that game. But real quick, because this is a more immediate and recent trend, we're going to have Martin talk about Street Fighter V beta. It's indestructible, I heard.
Oh, I wish it was.
Man, so good.
Well, first of all, we should talk about that the beta kind of didn't work at all. Basically, like, right from the start, the servers, like, immediately overloaded and they had trouble getting anything going. I think the Friday it started, I got into the training mode once. Because you had to connect to the server, and then you were thrown in directly into the training mode, because that's the way the matchmaking works. Now you're in training mode, and you can train stuff, and the game searches for opponents. So I got to play probably around 5 to 10 minutes in training mode with Bison, which was pretty fun. I really like the changes they did to him. No more Psycho Crusher, though, which is a thing to get used to, but he has some new interesting tricks, like the weird firewall thing you can now make and stuff like that. That's kind of cool. And then they basically shut down the beta except for selected times and only for North America. But if you had an American account, you could still get in, so that's just what I did. Booted up my American PSN account and actually got to play. I got in like 3 matches, I think, with Ryu. And, Ryu still plays basically like Ryu. not much has changed there, I have to say. The most interesting changes, I think, is definitely the V-Trigger system. Because they have gone away from the weird focus attack stuff, and now you just have this extra V trigger bar, which basically lets you do either a push block, a V ability, which is character specific. For Ryu, for example, you just push the middle medium punch and medium kick, and then you basically do a counter. For Bison, you could basically catch projectiles and then throw them back. And since I didn't really get to play with the others, I'm kind of blanking right now what they can do. And then you also have the V trigger, which is basically like, let's call it activation of like a special mode for your character. Like, for example, Ryu then gets lightning around his fists and his attacks do more damage. And for example, his fireball then does 2 hits, I think, and you can charge up your fireball, so you get some special properties for your character for a short while. For Bison, for example, it speeds him up for quite a bit, because his walk speed is kind of slow, but when he's in V-trigger mode, his walk speed gets faster, and if you dash, it's actually no longer a dash, you just immediately teleport, so you can get around quickly. So that's quite an interesting system, because it immediately gives every character like unique abilities and differentiates them even more from each other. Like I said, Ryu so far is the only one who actually has the possibility to counter, which is a thing that everyone could do in, for example, the Street Fighter 3, but here it's just a thing that Ryu can do, and Bison does something completely different, and I think that's kind of cool. I also thought that, despite me probably only playing against Americans, I actually had 2 of my 3 matches actually were pretty good, network code-wise, I have to say. And I also think the game actually looks really, really nice when you see it in person. It's a really good-looking game. That's kind of all I can say right now. Like I said, it's not a lot of play
time. Based off the 3 matches, yeah.
Yeah. they talked about doing 3 beta phases, and this was supposed to be the first one, but this one is not
because of
to
all
count.
The things, yeah.
So they will say at which date we will get the real one, which will hopefully work better.
It was a shame though, because all American folks had to pre-order the game in order to get access to this beta.
Yeah.
For European and Japan players, it was a little different. But, you know, most people just, you know, pre-ordered, said like, well, I'll give this a shot, 3 beta periods, and, well, the first one really didn't work quite well. But, you know, at least it happens now. That's always better than a day one of an official game you paid $60 for.
Yeah.
Okay, I just wanted to, I don't think we have this in the news, but you said the most interesting changes for the I actually think the most interesting changes for Street Fighter V is the game as a service, where...
I just meant...
I was just using it as a segue to actually talk about that, because I actually do think that is something that's going to be interesting to see. In some ways, it's similar to what Splatoon's doing right now, in that it gives you a certain amount of content, and then you can unlock stuff based on how Capcom rolls it out. So, like, say Capcom wants to release a character every 2 weeks. You can pay for it, or you can earn it through the game by paying it.
It all depends on how much of a skill that is. Do you need to put in 20 hours a week in order to get that for free, or is it okay to pay casually and still get it, you know? Or if you're planning on playing casually, do you always have to pay because you don't spend enough hours or simply aren't good enough? It's like, all depends on the skill of that, I assume.
Well, yeah, I think that's going to be the biggest hurdle, is like how they do it. Like, is it going to be something that you need to dedicate an entire week to unlock one character? Or is it going to be
personally
something?
Though, I have to say, no matter what the solution is, it's kind of better than what they have been doing for now, because right now, for every game, the solution is pay up.
Buy the next press game or buy the next big update.
Yeah. So, in that sense, it's like just the option, no matter how hard it might be, to not actually have to pay money is better than the option to only have to pay money.
Should we be worried that this creeps into free-to-play territory, or Is it still because you're paying for the base game? Do you think they'll limit that factor?
It's just the same thing that's always been. You buy the base game and you
get your 16
characters.
When you give into free-to-play mechanics, even in a full-priced game, you know, there aren't going to be compromises in how they implement stuff, I assume.
I don't know what sense. I mean, it's just characters.
Yeah, that's so far. But
yeah, and what other sense are they going to monetize the fighting game? We know they will probably sell costumes and maybe stages.
Stages, yeah.
And that's it. Nothing about that is going to compromise the basic gameplay.
No, not assuming no. At least if it stays that way, you know, I hope so.
That's what they talked about.
Yeah. Okay.
So far,
yeah.
Yeah, so it'll be interesting to see. I mean, it's Capcom. They can say some great stuff and still end up screwing you over in the end. Hoping for the best.
So far, I think the solution they're talking about sounds good. I mean, I think that selling the characters piecemeal, like, I think Killer Instinct is doing that as well, right? You don't have to buy the whole season.
So, yeah.
Is actually also pretty good because, like previously when we had to buy a new edition, maybe you were only interested in one of those new characters and don't care about the others. Now,
yeah, you have to buy them in a pack.
Hey, I just buy the one I care about and then I save my money or my fake funny money.
Yeah, it's cool that you at least can earn all the stuff through just normal play.
Yeah,
that's really awesome. For the core community, that's awesome, who are already planning on playing on the hours of that game.
Yeah, and I guess just to kind of stick with fighting games, you also had word that DOAX is being worked on.
Well, DOAX isn't a fighting game, though.
What is it?
Is that the beach volleyball?
Oh, God. It's the volleyball thing?
I just thought it's funny that they're still doing that crap.
Well, I mean,
wasn't the last one on the original Xbox or early 360?
Yeah, there was one on the 360.
Yeah, I thought there was one on 360. I think that was DOA Extreme, because the first one was Extreme Volleyball, wasn't it?
Oh, geez, don't ask me what fan name
structure don't.
Is.
All I want to say is they've never been dishonest with what the franchise is and who it's for.
No, that's true. Beach volleyball game and a bad one at that, because if you wanted a good beach volleyball game during the Xbox generation when the first one came out, you actually didn't buy Dead or Alive Extreme Beach Volleyball. You bought what was it called, the Sega game on the GameCube, Beach Spikers.
Oh yeah, like okay. I was gonna say, I don't know many beach volleyball games, but I remember
that was,
that was a fantastic game.
There's one free on the PC called the Blob. You play beach volleyball as a blob.
Yeah, it was Beach Spikers.
Right.
It was called. That was actually a really good beach volleyball game.
Well, I mean, it's the same way. You don't necessarily buy DOA if you want the best fighting game on the market. But
it was flashy.
Even then, I wouldn't call
it. It's not even flashy.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if you compare it to something like Marvel vs. Capcom or any of those other... It's not a bad fighting game, but if you want the best, you wouldn't go with DOA. I'm not gonna degrade myself by making that terrible pun. Anyhow. Yeah, and, I mean, they know their market. Speaking of knowing your market and, well, being sketchy, we have updates on Kickstarters. Two from the same company, Mighty No. 9. Have they officially announced this yet? I know Game Informer was running out.
No. It's still coming in September.
Okay.
But the thing is, before that, we also had all the retailers changing their...
That was the first sign, and then Game Informer was like, yeah, it's not coming out this year, and that's when people started to get worried. Mighty No. 9, as of right now, has unofficially been delayed into 2016. And I think, I mean, they haven't commented on it one way or another, have they? They haven't said, like,
They have commented on the time when the retailers did that. They said, I think they said, oh, there was a miscommunication thing. It's still coming in September. But
how do you miscommunicate with all retailers?
I don't know. And then the Game Informer Kings thing came that was separate from that, that they know about what they said regarding the retailers, but they still say they have a source telling them it's 2016. And since then, we haven't heard back from Concept.
I mean, to give them the benefit of the doubt, which at this point is being super generous, this was OE Friday, and a lot of companies, you know, by Friday afternoon or whatever, you know, people aren't there and what have you. But, yeah, that's not good for them, which was doubly exciting because they had other Kickstarter news this week, which made people super excited. After running we weren't even around for the start of this, the Red Ash Kickstarter, which is a spiritual successor to Mighty No. 9, which isn't even out yet.
Do you mean actually a spiritual successor to Mega Man?
Well, I meant because it's not a sequel to Mighty No. 9, but it stars the characters.
Based in the universe or something like that.
But it's not a sequel.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yes, it is a spiritual successor to its Mega Man Legends style of games. And they started a Kickstarter for this, which from the get-go didn't sit right with a lot of people. And I think part of the reason was because they went back to Kickstarter asking for money before they even delivered the game that they promised the last time they used
Kickstarter. Right, everybody says, like, one thing at a time. Just, we don't even know if the first one was successful yet.
We don't even know if
the
first one's going to come out this year at this point.
Yeah.
So, and then they announced, like, a console go with no console in mind. And I think there was a survey so that people could vote on
it. It was mishandled completely.
Yeah.
And it was actually two Kickstarters.
Oh, yeah.
One Kickstarter was the game, and the other one was an anime. And the real great thing is, the anime was, like, if it met the goal, I think it was supposed to be, like, a five-minute thing.
Yeah, so, yeah. If the full goal was matched, it was 5 minutes. And if it was quadrupled, it was, like, 50 minutes.
Yeah, I thought the original... Yeah, because the original goal wasn't even, like... It was, like, a short...
An animated intro.
Yeah, so it isn't even like you're not even paying to get
a
movie at that point. You're basically just paying to see what it would have looked like. And they decided to launch both these.
Or paying for them to create a pitch video.
Yeah.
And I have no problem with them being honest about how much, you know, animated stuff really costs and how much per minute it would be added, the cost would be added if the movie was longer. That's no problem. But the general thing about the entire thing was, like, this isn't the way to handle it.
Also, no. It's just not realistic for people to be excited. Like, whoa, I'm totally going to pay a lot of money for you to give me a 5 minute thing. That's just not like, something
again,
people would get excited about or want to actually put money in.
And again, at the same point, it's for a product that we don't know. We haven't been in this universe yet. Why would we want to pay to see an anime of it when we don't even know if we're going to like the characters or the world it inhabits?
Yeah, that as well. Yeah,
yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's a pretty big point, yeah.
But that didn't matter because not even halfway through, the Kickstarter was pretty much over this week.
For the game, at least.
For the game. I don't think the anime one did anything, really.
It's now barely running, but not well. I can check. You talk. I check.
Yes. So, they came out this week and said, oh, we found a publisher. So, we'll give it piecemeal because there's a lot of information with this publisher.
Right, there's a lot of parts information about
the anime right now is at 90%.
Oh,
then so it's $135,000 of $150,000.
Oh, okay.
Some stupid people.
For the 5 minute thing.
Are still to go.
And that's for the 5 minute thing. Okay.
No, that's for the intro.
Well, from 5 minutes.
Yeah, it's 5 minutes.
Okay. But, yes, they have a publisher who...
For the video game.
For the video game, who isn't going to publish the entire game... but the bare minimum Kickstarter, which means that I think the Kickstarter, like, if you hit the bare minimum, it was like the first three chapters of the game.
No, they are funding the first three chapters.
Yeah, that's what I mean. But that was the original, that was the baseline Kickstarter goal.
No, the baseline Kickstarter goal was just the first chapter.
Oh, okay, so it was just, so they're doing the first three.
Yeah.
But not the entire game.
No, it would be the entire game.
Is that the entire game?
That
okay,
is
then
the
I'm confused game. By this Kickstarter. Then
oh,
what
everybody is. Why do you think it's unsuccessful? Come on.
Then what is your donation going towards?
Well, now it's...
They changed it. Originally, it was, you know, they didn't tell us they had a publisher. So originally it was like, we need your help because no publisher would ever help us with this kind of project. So we'll make the game. It's three parts if you come and pledge with us. They saw it was unsuccessful. Nobody paid attention. Everybody was mad because, you know, the first game hadn't been released yet. And now it's like, okay, we'll change it. We have a publisher, and we don't actually need your money to at least make the base game. We just need your money to add this stuff towards the end product that the publisher will publish for us.
Yeah. So right okay. Now, they basically have the full game.
From the publisher?
From the publisher. You get the full game, and they have funding to also do an Xbox One and PlayStation 4 version. And now they still want their $800,000, and that money right now is going towards an X-Mode challenge dungeon, and basically that some of the other characters in the storyline are like, one of the characters, Tiger, is playable, and there's also a mode called Call and Gopher Village Reconstruction.
Okay. Oh, yes, of course, that mode. I always want to play that.
There are descriptions, but whatever. That's currently what that money would be going towards.
Okay, just to back up a bit, now I'm a bit more confused. Because they upped the
goal
to 8,000. Does that mean it's over in a day? So does that mean, like, if they don't hit that 8,000, they don't get any of that 500,000?
No, they don't get any of that.
No, that's how Kickstarter works. At Indiegogo, you get some of the money. At Kickstarter, you get none if you don't make
it. Okay, so why did they up the goal? Because
they didn't up their goal.
I thought they were
the original goal.
Oh, so they had never hit the goal.
No, they had never hit the goal.
Okay.
That's the thing. They would have never hit the goal. And all of a sudden, oh, we have a publisher.
And what did they... I don't understand. Like, I wouldn't have announced the publisher until afterwards. Because at least you would have got some sympathy. Like, maybe... Because I've honestly seen it. It's the first Kickstarter I've seen that has went negative, where people have retracted their donation.
Sometimes that happens afterwards, because sometimes people fill in fake credit cards or pledge because they can't even pay, or some trolls. I know of a Dutch indie developer who had two high profile people, not the people don't donate, but the highest tiers were filled out. And afterwards, they recognized that those were fake, so they didn't meet their goal at the end anyway. So those things happen, but usually it happens afterwards, not during.
Let's be honest. The decent thing here to do, what other Kickstarters also have done, would have been, oh, we have a publisher, we are canceling our Kickstarter, and if you really wanted to kickstart expansions to that thing, you do a new Kickstarter. And not this slapdash, thrown together thing.
When the game's done, or when you have a demo, so that you know you want to spend money in this universe.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow, okay. I am so happy. I have no interest in supporting this Kickstarter at all. Because this just sounds like a head-scratcher trying to figure out what they want to do.
The thing is, the idea could be cool. A lot of people like the Mega Man Legends series, but it's just mishandled. It's just a mishandled.
Well, I mean, I think it's like the people who like my old games, I want to kind of get in on their good graces. But, yeah, I think it was terrible timing to do it before they released their first game that they kickstart, and I think it's not helping that the end of the Kickstarter is coming when the other game that they kickstart is being delayed into the next year, and they haven't said anything about it. I think the fact that they've just been terrible with communication overall has hurt.
And we come off a few other high-profile Kickstarters. People, you saw that like a year and a half ago. People were a little Kickstarted out. You know, people was like, I just spent enough money on old games. You know, give me a break. You know.
That's something that's
yeah, Valve has been a lot of high profile stuff lately with Bloodstained and Shenmue 3 and all that stuff. So, and asking for this is a bit much. Also, it really seems like they, I don't know who's responsible for managing the Kickstarter, but it doesn't seem like it's the same people that helped Concept out for Mighty No. 9.
No, it has. Because I know a few people who did that, and they actually put effort and time into the original idea for the Kickstarter, and they had excellent communication and did their due. So it wasn't the same folks.
Yeah. And that's what it looks like. It's like total chaos.
And you can see with that, it's like your Kickstarter could be fantastic, but if it's mishandled, you won't get your goal just because of the type of communication and the type of presentation you'll do towards the audience you want money from.
No, definitely. The Bloodstained one was exceptionally well managed, and that's why it did so well. Shenmue probably could have been a lot better.
It wasn't bad.
I mean, it's not like it's the that highest funded video gaming Kickstarter still, but it probably could have done even better because the management of the Shenmue Kickstarter at the start wasn't that great.
And later,
and
also
it was kind of confusing to people.
Yeah,
lots of confusion. Yeah.
So I'm kind of curious because we've gone through the honeymoon period with Kickstarter. This new phase was mostly because people were excited by these sequels to
original creators.
Yeah. So, what's the next phase? Like, we're kind of, it's like people are burning out Kickstarter's goodwill with a lot of consumers.
All depends on how these games turn out. I think that if the Pillar guys come back and say, like, we need some more money, I bet they'll get it. But if the folks come out from Mighty No. 9, like, in July of next year, but Mighty No. 9 turned out to be not so great game, then I would doubt they'll get their money again. All depends on the quality of the game in the end.
Yeah, but for me, it's like, I have backed a couple of Kickstarters, and so far, all of them have turned out well, to be honest. And for me, it already was the case, like, I backed Shadowrun. I really like the Shadowrun games they made. And then they came back and said, yeah, we're making another Shadowrun game, the Hong Kong one, and I had no problem backing them again, because it all worked out.
They proved that they could do it with the money, little delays, but not too much, you know, good communication, deliver on a great game, and come back and say, like, hey, you want us to do this again? We need the money, of course, to make it. We made a little profit, but not enough to make the entire project again.
Yep.
You'll do that, and we'll promise to give you the game you like again.
And they actually got funded really fast and met all the goals as well. So people still respond well when
they deliver an original good product.
Exactly.
From the first one.
And Red Ash definitely has a problem. I mean, I don't even like Mega Man Legends, but on top of that, it was like, well, I haven't even played Mighty No. 9, and so far it doesn't look that great, to be honest, so I'm already starting to regret my pledge. So no way I'm giving you money for Red Ash.
Before I played the final product of the first one.
If it ever comes out.
Yeah, I think, Earl, that, you know, Kickstarter project will continue and new indies will, of course, remain and everything like that. But I think that in the future, the more successful ones will be the ones who maybe are for the high profile folks who haven't been turned to Kickstarter yet, or the folks
who come back for
a second one or a third one.
But how many
there
other
are plenty of original creators who are still at big companies who maybe see this and say, like, well, let's start something for our own.
Yeah, definitely lots of people who have, like, PC origins in the 80s and 90s. There's still lots of people that could potentially go to Kickstarter and make stuff.
Okay. Okay, we'll find out in the coming months. And years, I guess. Amplitude has
been
there.
Years before, you know, the folks who had these high profiles once from this year, they'll take 2-3 years to complete.
Yeah. So that's going to be another thing, is, like, you have that cooling off period where people probably don't want to kickstart stuff until they start seeing the big ones that they
pump
money into. Like, it took, you know, like, the first big one was Broken Age, and that's still just kind of finishing up this year.
No, it's odd.
No, I meant, like, it was finishing up this year.
Oh,
which is
right, that's true.
So, I think everybody's excited about it, but you will. It's a true wait and see after the first project. It's a true wait and see. It's the same with if Tim comes back from Double Fine, and it's like we want to do something like Broken Age, but better handled. Like, I probably think that more people will be skeptical, but because of how the first one was launched.
I don't think they will come back to Kickstarter.
We were all
not from when you see their documentary and stuff. I don't think that was an experience they want to repeat.
I think they can handle it a lot better now that they know what's involved and how much it actually costs and how much time it actually takes, etc., etc.
Yeah, but Devil's Fine is never, apparently. It doesn't look like they've ever been good at managing time and money, so...
No, that's true. That's true. What's next, girl?
Amplitude has been delayed into 2016.
Yep, another Kickstarter.
Yes. Well, I mean, we've kind of mentioned this before, but... It is what it is. Some people just don't know how to budget for time. And, you know, we always talk about how evil publishers are, but there's a reason that they tend to have these benchmarks for dates you should hit and when you should have this ready and stuff like that. And I think without that overhead, a lot of people are just like, well, it's done when it's done, which is a great quality to have, but it's frustrating if you promise it at a certain time and can't deliver on that.
Although it's not like, I think it's technically not a big delay because it was meant to be out
at the end of the year.
Second half at least of this year, so it's not like it's a huge delay, I would say.
Okay.
Yeah, we'll see. That game hasn't had, at least to non-backers, had a lot of information about it outside of the Kickstarter project, so... Maybe it was also like, well, we just need more time for this to come together to a quality that people would like from this game. So maybe we could release something at the end of the year, but it wasn't up to the quality, and that's fine with me. You know, I understand people are disappointed, but in the end, quality is more important.
Yeah, the thing is, I have actually heard, well, from people that played it on trade shows or something, that it apparently is very good. So that's at least something.
Yeah, I guess kind of talking about a game that actually has been announced and is coming out soon, much sooner than I thought.
Zombie
was announced for the PlayStation 4 and the Xbox One.
NPC.
Mm-hmm. In support of the Wii U launch title Zombie U,
which I liked a lot,
and I have still sealed.
It's the same here. I got it for like $10.
I got it for $6.
It's a digital-only title, well, on these new platforms, and it's coming out August 18th, so about 2 weeks from now.
Mm-hmm.
They just detail some of the changes. I mean, this game has been rumored for most of this year, at least since, like, April.
Quite a while, yeah.
Yeah.
Is it a retail game, or is it digital?
It's just digital. Digital-only.
Right. Yeah.
They haven't announced the price yet, but I imagine it should be like $20.
I think it's 20 or less.
Really?
I would hope so. Okay, for the price you get the Wii U version for these days.
Yeah, but
it would be shocking to ask for that much.
They can't account for the fact that retailers are dumping Wii U games, right?
Well, I can tell you, I wouldn't pay more.
Okay, that's something different. Yeah, I think they will try to, $29 to $39.
Nah, I don't think they can do that.
I think the other thing is, and, you know, maybe, but it also wasn't a game, it's a game that has a following, people enjoy it, but it's also not a game that reviewed super well. Like, it's around 77 on Metacritic, so it's hard, it's not like a critically acclaimed game, and you can't even say it's like a hot Wii U exclusive, because the Wii U itself isn't that hot. So it's one of those games where, like, yeah, you can probably charge it, but it makes more sense to aim for 20 or below. But I can see them hitting $30-$40 for this. And I'll be curious to see what happens with that. That said, they also detail some of the changes just this morning. As many people suspected, it was going to be hard to replicate the game pad's functionality, so they just didn't. Instead, you just put up a menu that overlays on top of the screen.
Is this real time?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what the tension in the game of on the Wii U version got from, because it wasn't real time on the gamepad.
Yeah, but the thing is,
I played the Wii U version to completion, and while I liked the gamepad stuff, and I talked about how I liked it, I could also have easily seen how you could do it without it. And when I thought about how would I do this and this without the gamepad, it's like what they are doing basically. It's quite obvious. You do an overlay over the screen and make it to some way turn up the opacity lower or higher or whatever, so you can still somewhat see through it and you still have the same effect. It's basically like in menus in Dark Souls. When you pause, you still see some of the stuff that's going on in the background, but the game is still going. And as long as that is the case, you still replicate the feeling that you have in the Wii U version.
Yeah. Well, and they just completely took out the multiplayer mode, which I imagine isn't a huge loss. It seemed like it was a fun diversion, but I don't know many people who played it or would recommend it.
That for me is actually a bummer, because I actually thought they would keep that in, because maybe it would actually have played it on the PS4.
Well, I guess because you can't. I guess. It is a portable Wii U title, so it doesn't have online, and they probably didn't think it was worth investing into local multiplayer on those systems.
Yeah, that's what I meant. If it actually was online, that would have been cool, but apparently not. So, another reason to not actually charge more than $20.
Full price.
Right, yeah.
Yeah. And then I think the additions are two new melee weapons.
Okay. Wow, two whole new melee weapons. Okay.
And I think that's it.
That's actually not a lot of changes.
No.
I mean, it's from what I've understood, it's a relatively good game. It's just on the Wii U, so it doesn't have an audience.
It's a good
and it wasn't
game,
profitable
but
for Ubisoft. That's why they want to do it at the end.
But having played it, I would have actually also liked to see some balancing changes is something I would have liked to hear about. Because if you play it on the normal mode and you play halfway decently, you can stockpile a lot of weapons and equipment, and then at that point the game got kind of a bit too easy, I thought. And so I would have liked to see some balancing changes there to keep the tension up even later on in the game.
Yeah, I don't know. So yeah, that's out in 2 weeks, so that's a thing. What else do we have this week? Oh, China has this ban on console gaming.
Yeah. For the entire mainland, yeah.
Yeah, that should be... I'm curious... I know we talked about this during the warm-up, but I'm curious. Does Sony, Nintendo, and Microsoft have current consoles? I always thought they had the previous one.
No, the Xbox One and the PS4 are out in China.
Not in China, okay.
At least in those three... trade zone thingies. I don't know. There are a couple of places where they could have been sold. And
yeah,
they
had a soft launch this spring for both of them.
Yeah. And now technically they could be sold
throughout the entire
country, yeah.
And this all depends on how the culture is. The culture is mainly because of course, because of the ban and because of how the economy worked 10, 15 years ago for China. Everything is PC-related or knockoff-related, and now it's officially coming in an economy that's doing a lot better for them, a lot of more middle-class families who have disposable income. So it could be a great time for them to launch there. And it all depends on if the culture is willing to pick up such a console or to just have a culture right now where something like a new box from those types of companies isn't something people want in their lives there.
Well, and I would also imagine it's price and energy consumption and a lot of things that we probably don't necessarily consider as much in our countries.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, price is still expensive in any country.
Of course. But
yeah. We shall see. It will be an interesting. I mean, it's the first major time we've had a new market open up in quite some time.
A major market, absolutely.
Yeah, because they tried to break into Central America, and that has really not gone well for anybody due to, like, the price of doing business in that country?
Especially Texas and all kinds of regulations. And the governments there don't make it easy for outside manufacturers to sell electronics or anything related towards electronics.
Yeah, so we shall see then. We shall see. And I'm not 100% familiar with this story, but Dead Island 2 was not canceled, but delayed indefinitely.
So it was, first up, it was supposed to be launched this spring. We saw and played it last year at Gamescom, looked unfinished, but looked essentially fine for a sliced demo for a trade show. And then we heard a long time nothing before around E3. And after E3, they said, like, well, we just, you know, booted the developer, essentially. We still want to make the game and still want to publish the game, and we believe in the franchise and every blah blah PR speak, but we didn't have creative differences, like they say in the PR speak, with the developer Jaeger. So basically the developer got kicked out and the game is presumably being given towards a other developer and still being published by Deep Silver.
But they haven't announced the other developer.
No.
And in theory, they haven't found one. They just aren't working with Jaeger anymore.
Yeah, no.
And the
part of Jaeger that was working on Dead Island 2 has basically declared bankruptcy.
Because that was their only project where they got money.
It's just that part of Jaeger. Jaeger basically created like a subdivision just for that game. It's not like the entirety of Jaeger has declared bankruptcy.
Because they have other projects.
Yeah.
I'm sure they're working on Ninja Gaiden Z2.
Nah, they have like an MMO sci-fi thing they are working on. I forgot the name.
Oh.
But Martin, the weird thing is that there, you know, of course, behind the scenes can be a million reasons, and creative differences could just be the PR speak, but maybe
it
really
was creative. Is always PR speak.
sure. Let's just say that, but essentially, the Dead Island 2 we saw and played was essentially more of what the first one was. So it's just weird that they now say that that isn't the direction they wanted to go. It's like, well, if that doesn't say that a year ago.
I still think it's probably the effect of Dying Light and Dying Light turning out
to
way
be
better than anyone
and
had
more
expected.
Sales and the game quality was better,
and they're like, oh, well, shit, we might have a competent developer working on this and it might not end up being a buggy mess like the first Dead Island, but does it hold up to what Dying Light is doing? Probably not.
Yeah, they probably were thinking that Dying Light was going to be a moderate success, hopefully, and or maybe at least break even or something like that, and had some impact on the industry. But because of how the game quality turned out to be, and of course the timing of release, it really, really helped.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what I would assume.
Okay. What else do we have? Oh, Square Enix has been busy in our time off. Well, before we get to the big one, they announced Final Fantasy Explorers for the West for early 2016.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm kind of curious about that one. Who knew that the 3DS's Second Life would be multiplayer online games?
No idea.
Well, I mean, we got this, we got Zelda, we have that Metroid game people don't want to talk about. Monster Hunter, of course, is always a big one.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess the real big news is the announcement of Dragon Quest XI, which was announced for an odd assortment of platforms. I mean, it makes
at least
complete,
it was a mobile phone.
Yeah, it makes complete sense in that the 3DS and the PS4 are the two biggest platforms. If you talk about it on a global level, the 3DS dominates Japan, the PS4 pretty much the rest of the world.
Yep.
So that makes sense, but as far as like power goes, that has to be the hugest gap between any two platforms you can pick right now.
I mean, the thing is, the games will probably, except for the story, will most likely be nothing alike.
Yeah, that works.
I suspect this will be like a Ni No Kuni situation.
Yeah, that's actually a good example. There was another one that Capcom did, but it never came out into the West. That fighting...
No, there was this game that was kind of like... Jesus, what was that?
It had the mechs in it, that's all I remember.
Yeah, but that was actually the exactly same game on...
Oh, the same game, okay. But
three.
Yeah, so... I was excited for the 3DS version until I realized that they said that's only for the beginning of the game. Because they showed off that the 3DS version would have a 3D game on top and then a 2D retro sprite game on the bottom. And I thought that would be a nice, interesting way to use the two screens.
Yeah.
But that's just a gimmick they used to show it off. And they said it's only going to be for not even portion of the game, just the beginning, I think.
Yeah, and after that, I think they said you can choose which version you want to play.
Yeah, but you can't do both.
Yeah, you can't do both, yeah.
Yeah, so that's disappointing. And I guess the other big news for certain people, depending, is that they said there's a possibility of an NX version, which would be the first official game announced for it.
Yeah.
In either direction.
But then there was a lot of backpedaling later. It
but
was a confusing announcement, to be honest.
Yeah, they talked about it at the reveal launch, but afterwards, like, oh well, maybe we shouldn't have talked about it, or maybe this is too early, or you know, we're thinking about it.
Yes, I feel like you don't mention that at your reveal. Yes, it's been under heavy consideration. You don't just say, oh yeah, I think there's something there, but I wouldn't expect it. It's not something Nintendo's ready to talk about, so nobody else should be ready to talk about it.
Mm. And they showed little bit of footage of the 3DS version. Did they show the PS4 version?
I don't know. I didn't watch the press conference. I just know the information. And
no,
I know
it's just some highlights. But
yeah, and then it scans.
Martin, do you know if they showed any console versions?
What? Sorry?
Did they show any footage of the console version of the PS4 version?
Yeah, they did.
Okay, did that look the same as the 3DS version?
It was running on Unreal Engine 4, so no.
Ah, okay. Okay, that was a little confusing to me how that turned out, you know, how those versions, if there are any connected. You said it couldn't go over between, but how different does the entire game is? We'll see how that turns out.
Yeah. But the weird thing for me is, Earl, you said, like, yeah, the platforms make total sense, considering, like, PS4 is huge in the West, 3DS is huge in the East, right?
Yeah.
But on the other hand, then there were people, like, asking, so, this is coming to the West, right? And then the answer from Screenig was, we don't know.
Yeah, I saw people upset about that, and I understand, from a PR standpoint, it's both novel and stupid. It makes sense in that you don't want to get people's hopes up in case it doesn't come out, because we haven't seen Dragon Quest X in the West. We haven't seen the remakes of 7, and I doubt there's been no word of 8 coming to the West either. So that makes sense, but at the same time, you announced
your mainline series would assume that that's something you'll bring over.
Well, again, they didn't bring over 10.
Well, 10 wasn't anymore.
Yeah, but even still, that's on the Wii, the Wii U, the 3DS, and the PC. Two of those platforms are somewhat healthy in the West.
Yeah.
But still, it's an MMO.
Yeah, that has a monthly fee.
Yep.
But
there are not many of those that are sustainable these days.
Yeah. And on the
two, I think.
And on Final Fantasy, they have yet to be able to build an actual huge brand for Dragon Quest in the West. And I think, I imagine, and this would probably be silly, but we've seen stupider decisions, I imagine that some of it might hinge on how well Dragon Quest Hero does in the West.
Yeah, and that's super dumb. Because those games are nothing alike.
Yeah, and you can't change a mainline series sales with a spin-off.
You can't, but we've seen dumber decisions being made before.
Yeah, yeah.
Because that's part of the reason we haven't seen Dragon Quest 7 and 8 is because they brought over, like, Dragon Quest Monster or Joker, and that didn't sell well.
Joker, so, right.
Yeah, and they're like, I guess Dragon Quest games don't sell well in the West. Yeah. So, that's a... it's the way people think... I'm sure it's not a single person who's making these decisions, but yeah, we've seen really dumb things.
It just it shows that they're still not thinking on an international first kind of mind, and that's pretty sad.
Which is weird, because, and I think, and I could be wrong, but I still feel like Square and Enix, even though they're a single company, still are treated as two separate entities, because Square tends to think on a global level, where, like, you know, there's no wishy-washy stuff. Final Fantasy is coming out. Kingdom Hearts coming out. There's no, we don't know. We'll see how things go. And Enix is like, maybe. I don't know. We'll think about it. And I think the problem was, it wasn't even like they'll think about it. They worded it as like we do with all other Dragon Quest games. And everybody's like, you haven't bought over like the last five of them.
Yeah. It's so weird. That is not a thing that should be happening from a company like Square Enix.
I'm just glad they still moved on. You know, they haven't. Sorry, words today. It's just the fact that I think that we're glad that it isn't a phone game. It's just because that's just the biggest market in Japan right now. That's where all the money's being made, and so they could have brought over the mainline to a phone only game, free to play. I think we should be glad that isn't that.
Okay. Well, okay, just before we begin to wrap up and talk about what's to come with these two going to Gamescom, just real quick, because we've talked about Kickstarter enough, I think this was announced this week, I don't know when exactly, but Ukulele is cutting a retail release thanks to Team 17.
Ah, yeah, right.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And I don't necessarily mind that. I think because they're still making the game. It's just like, oh, we're going to team up with somebody to help us bring it to stores.
It's not the first time this has happened.
Yeah, it's not the first time.
Great and then to found a partner to release their game in retail.
Yeah.
Pillars of Eternity got a retail release later on. It's not like they then got the money anyway. It's like, no, they have to make the game with the money they got from you. It's just that the publishing partner basically only funds the distribution.
Yeah.
Of the physical thing. That's all it is.
Martin, isn't that the same as what Namco basically did for Witcher 3? It's like they only handled distribution of the retail product in the end.
Yep.
It's like they didn't have anything to do with publishing the game or developing or anything like just distribution, because they have those channels lined up from working 20 years in the industry.
Exactly. Or EA did the same thing with Valve and distributing their games on console, for example.
Yeah. Yeah, and once you get a foothold in, it usually works out. So that's good for them. And again, like I said, it was funded beforehand. This is something that came out after the deal, and it's not something like that. They're just making sure it hits retail. They're not, as far as I know, there's no oversight into how. The
most surprising news about that is that I didn't know Team 17 was that large to be handling retail distribution for video games.
Oh, they have been for a while. There have been a lot of, like, smaller titles that they have brought to retail.
Gotta use that worm money somehow.
Yeah.
Yeah,
apparently.
They're also making new worms.
But they're always
making new worms.
Yeah.
I know.
Worms is such an odd, interesting franchise. Because I don't know anybody who's, like, huge into Worms, but it seems like a game everybody has played at one point or another.
It's been around for so long, everybody played a version.
I was really big into Worms with Worms 1 and Worms 2.
Yeah.
Those were my Worms titles. And I played them on PC.
Yeah.
So, that was when? Mid-90s?
Yeah.
That was the time, I think, that Worms was probably the biggest, I would assume, but I don't know.
Especially when the first and second one were, you know, really hyped. Yeah, it was a pretty big deal. I think they really benefit from the fact, of course, that, you know, this whole indie movement, and because the retail versions of the Xbox, PS2 and 360 games weren't, like, particularly high regarded or well played, or like something that was like, eh, they all had it, all a bunch of stuff. It wasn't particularly interesting.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So, Gamescom, you two are going this year, and it actually starts, when are you folks going? Because it starts, I know Microsoft's press conference is Tuesday.
Yeah, that's we're not cool enough for Microsoft. So
we're
usually only cool enough for Sony, but this year they don't have a conference.
So when are you folks going, and what are you planning to see?
So we're definitely going on Tuesday, but we have nothing lined up for Tuesday. Then we will be checking out stuff on the press day, which is Wednesday, and also Thursday and Friday. We have basically, I think, all the big publishers covered. I don't think we're missing one. Right, Petrine?
No, not really. No, just not Sony, but they don't even have behind closed doors appointments. They just have a show floor booth this year.
Yeah, which we will probably check out when we find the time. It's more of a time thing to find it between the other appointments, because you have to leave for the normal show floor, and I mean, people have seen the pictures of how Gamescom looks on public days, so it's hard to see anything. And otherwise, yeah, we're seeing Nintendo, we're seeing EA, we're seeing Square Enix. I don't even know what Square Enix has. They have been hyping out something about Final Fantasy 15. I don't know if they will actually be showing something new. I wonder. We will probably see the Devolver games. Lots of indie stuff there. Metal Gear Solid 5. We will see, and I think also play, because it's playable there.
And it's out in like 3 weeks. Well, I mean, it's out in a month of this recording.
Yeah, but still, I mean, I could still see them potentially not having it playable there because fear of spoilers or what have you, right?
Yeah, and they said it was playable, but we don't know in what form. It could probably just the E3 demo.
Maybe. Or it could just be a walkthrough by somebody else while you watch them.
Yeah. It is on the show floor, so it's definitely playable. Really playable. Also
for like the public.
So, something is playable. We just don't know what. We have appointments with Ubisoft, but Ubisoft was this year's bit dicey, so I don't know how much we will actually see from them. We will check out Disney Infinity, the Star Wars thing they're doing this year.
Yeah, Disney Infinity 3.0.
Yeah, then what else is interesting? Guitar Hero Live is something we will check out. The new Skylanders, our yearly Skylanders appointment.
Yes. Mighty number 9 next week.
Exactly,
so
we actually have a Mighty number 9 appointment, so we will see how that will go.
I mean, the game was pretty far along. It's been playable before.
Yeah. But I wonder if they will say anything about the release. And
yeah, depending on what kind of news they'll bring next week. If that's something they'll reveal next week, that it's going to be, or it has been delayed.
So then we also have a problem with 2K, so we will see XCOM 2,
yes,
the new one, which is pretty exciting.
I'll go see the Gearbox game.
What is it called again? The weird MOBA thing.
It's really MOBA, but you know.
It's a MOBA.
Yeah, okay, maybe.
Maybe, it's definitely MOBA.
Okay.
Trust me, I'm an expert.
Okay, sure.
And I will also probably check out WWE 2K16. Yes. I kinda hope I can play as Schwarzenegger.
Yeah, I hope so. But he's a pre-order bonus, right?
Yeah, but maybe we'll still show him off. That would be cool.
Yes, so I think that's a good note to end on. But I am so fascinated by this whole terminated WWE thing this year.
Hang on. Just to finish it, because we'll Rock Band 4, Paradox, and some leftover stuff from some other publisher in a different time. But Rock Band, I'm really interested because I invested like €1,000 past generation in Rock Band songs, so I'm really interested. And Paradox always has fantastic indie games lineup. So
and Paradox apparently will have a new game announced. We don't even know what it is, but we will see it.
Okay, so go ahead about the WWE thing.
Arnold Schwarzenegger, the Terminator, should say the Terminator, is a pre-order bonus if you pre-order WWE 2K16. I don't think it's not a store exclusive, right? It's just a pre-order bonus.
Yeah, just general pre-order benefit that it looks like.
I have to give I've always been a fan of WWE's video department, but I have to give them extra credit for the Terminator reveal trailer, which is like the original Terminator scene where he walks into the bar with Dean Ambrose.
Yep.
That's actually kind of nifty, even though I wish it wasn't Dean Ambrose and somebody of a lower stock, because you don't have to embarrass Dean Ambrose.
Well, there are a bunch of guys actually in the clip, though. Not just Dean Ambrose. But he's, of course, the guy who gets robbed by the Terminator, let's say.
But yes, this whole WWE Terminator thing has been fascinating, because it started off with them cross-promoting Terminator at WrestleMania with Triple H's entrance.
Mm-hmm.
And now he's in the game. And I don't get it. Not even like Terminator is a huge movie this year.
I just thought, like, it probably, that deal was probably made around WrestleMania is what I'm thinking. Before the movie was even out, they're like,
yeah,
sure, we'll promote
probably,
your
yeah.
movie. Give us Schwarzenegger for our game, okay? Let's shake hands. And that was the deal being made or something like that.
Yeah, these deals come together on such a short, early basis, they couldn't have known how, you know, the movie and everything turned out.
Yeah. Also, Earl, I heard someone say that the 2K spot was maybe actually made by not WWE's usual guys, but actually by Paul Heyman's company.
The video?
Yeah.
Oh, that would make sense. Paul Heyman has some, he has some, okay. I mean, most of the stuff I see on his side are just big-breasted women. but they also make videos, from what I can tell.
Yeah, they are like a promotional company in some form, I think.
Yeah, yeah, it's Heyman Hustle. They promote. They did the whole Brock Lesnar, like, the Brock Lesnar guy who kept on, like, doing moves to his girlfriend. And
yep.
Yeah, they do videos and stuff like that. I'm kind of curious, and I wonder if I can look into it, because SummerSlam is in New York City this year, mm-hmm. and that's usually when they reveal the whole kind of roster for these games.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of curious about that. I want to see if I can get into that this year, if I'm around that weekend, to see if I can attend any of their WWE 2K events in.
That would be interesting, yeah.
Yeah,
I'm curious to see the game again this year, because, I mean, last year wasn't good.
The year before wasn't good. The year before that wasn't good.
but I
like 2012 was the last one. Was pretty good.
But I always somewhat hope that maybe this is the year, right? Maybe it's the year.
I stopped hoping that this was the year, like, 5 years ago. Until the day they come out and say, okay, we're going to drop Yoinks, and we're going to go with a new studio. And even then, I would still wait until the year after. First Wrestling Games are usually pretty bare bones because they want to get the engine up to speed. And then they work on, like, actually making it decent.
But the thing for me is just when they said, like, yeah, we'll have all the NXT guys and stuff, and that's, like, really cool, but man, hopefully the game will not suck.
You know who won't be in this year's game?
Hogan.
Hulk Hogan. And he's not in last year's game anymore, apparently. So.
Yep. The Yankees
yeah,
they as well.
So, yeah. Yeah. That's, and I guess the cover artist for this year is Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Yep.
Which is actually another interesting video. I don't necessarily know why he buried his belt in his backyard, but he dug it up.
For me, it was more interesting to have, like, yes, we have Steve Austin on the cover because we don't have any actual current stars.
Well, you have John Cena. So, but he was on the cover.
I don't know if he even counts anymore.
Oh, he's on the cover of Asia, too. Yeah, they could always put Roman Reigns.
Oh, that will sell copies.
Like we said with the Kickstarter earlier, you can see reverse numbers. People pre-ordering to send it back. I mean, that's a problem they need to face. Though I do wish that I don't hate Yoinks. Well, whatever. But I wish that I've said this before about wrestling games. One, to this day, I should say, I still don't know why they come out in October, November. I think ideally wrestling games should come out in February or March. Yep. That's when the big focus is on the industry. I've used a comparison before. I'm sure I've used it on this show. Madden games don't come out in October, November. They come out at the start of the season. Same with basketball. Well, basketball and hockey are different because those are October, November. Baseball games come out in March or whatever. They yep. come out during...
FIFA comes out later than the start of the season.
Well, but not by much.
Not by that much, no.
But yes.
It's like FIFA 2 usually with FIFA, I think.
Yeah, so, wrestling doesn't have seasons, but everybody knows that WrestleMania is the only time most of the world pays attention to them.
Yeah, but WrestleMania is a season in itself.
Yeah, and
it's the lead up towards it.
Yeah, you can have it come out the Tuesday after the Royal Rumble, have it come out during their February pay per view, have it come out WrestleMania week. But it makes no sense to have it come out. I don't even know what the October pay per view is anymore.
Nah, neither do I.
If you would ask them, I would assume they think that they'll get more of a boost of general holiday sales. But I don't actually think the dedicated group who buys this game is, I think, savvy enough to buy it whenever it's released, I assume.
Yeah, it's not like WWE isn't going to peddle that shit during all their shows all the time.
Yeah, and again, when looking at the numbers, the biggest. I mean, it's not. I mean, I could be wrong, but I don't often see wrestling games promoted outside of wrestling. Like, I don't see it in general commercials and stuff like that. Because I think people know their audience, and the wrestling audience is a very particular niche of people. And but yeah, just imagine like WWE 2K16 presents the Royal Rumble instead of WWE 2K16 presents in previous years like Battleground or Hell in a Cell. And it's like, yeah, these B tier pay per views instead of like. You know, the Royal Rumble would be A tier, and then WrestleMania would be like God tier for wrestling fans. Yeah. I mean, that is the time. So, and more than anything, with this transition to 2K, which I guess isn't in transition, this is their third game with the license now. It would make sense to give their team a year and a half to work on it instead of having to do like we're going to keep going with Yoinks because we have to do this in a year, and they already have a whatever. Nobody cares. But yes, that is my random Russian rant for the year, as I always do.
Nah, you will have another one.
I was going to say, you can also find other ones on Nerds on the Rocks. I'm sure we'll do it in a few weeks when we have SummerSlam, which is now a four-hour show. Oy vey.
What? It is?
Yeah.
Damn, that's long.
Yeah.
And I will probably watch it, and I haven't watched WWE since WrestleMania.
Well, I am going, so... I have no choice but to watch it. I'm also super excited. I mean, for all the crap, I do enjoy seeing the show in person. For one, you get rid of commentary.
Yeah.
So that's like, that at least makes it 25% better.
Probably.
And do they do stuff during the commercials that they show on TV? I'm assuming they're not just standing there.
Well,
or they have
commercials
on giant
do.
Screens or what they do.
But... Pay-per-view, I don't remember what they do during pay-per-views.
Pay-per-views don't have commercials.
No, they don't have commercials, but they do have dead period.
Okay.
If they have the transitional time, but I guess usually that's just setup and stuff.
Yeah, just music, but, blasting, and stuff like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, but during actual shows, like, we can talk about this off-air.
sure.
So yes, you two will be back next weekend with Game Comments Impression. And yes, like we did kind of with E3, even though we didn't do it after E3, we're going to go weekly again for a bit just to kind of get caught up. And then we'll see about going back to bi-weekly just to kind of make sure these schedules align.
Yeah.
So I do want to thank Martin and the Dutch Day for joining us.
Yeah,
and
thank you all.
And for myself, this has been Dual Wielding for the week of August the 3rd, 2015.
Thanks, everybody. Bye-bye.